Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, this time from Pastor Nick Scott. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, a special welcome to all our children in front. And if there are some of you still sitting with your parents, please make your way to the front. For those of you who do not know me, I'm Liesl Breitenbach, and I'm the assistant pastor for the children and families in our church, and I especially oversee our Sunday morning Burugoon ministry. So I know many of you sitting in front here. What a glorious day, and what a special message when we listened to the beautiful stories about the cats. But that's not the only story that's going to be told today. I have Esty here with me. Esty is my daughter, and she's a great storyteller, and she has great facial expressions as well. So if you are sitting over there and you cannot see Esty, you might want to move a bit closer so you can look at her and look at the screen as she tells a very true and simple story about Mr. Keller and his special dog, Lass. He's also telling the story of his life and the powerful lessons God taught him through his journey with his precious border collie. Just as Jesus told parables in the Bible, God often uses everyday circumstances to teach us valuable life lessons. Mr. Keller had grown up in East Africa, and he had always worked with cattle with his dog Paddy. But then he went to Canada to further his university training, and he later found a magnificent property, very neglected, but magnificent. And he wanted to buy that beautiful property called Fairwinds. It was at the southern tip of the Vancouver Island. He needed a lot of cash to buy that property, so he scraped all the money he had and bought it. But then he didn't have much left to buy cattle, so he settled for sheep. He needed a dog to help him care for those sheep. I'm going to hand over to Esty to tell this very simple but true story of Mr. Keller, his time at Fairwinds, and the lessons he learned from a sheepdog. This is a story of transforming love.
Many years ago, on Vancouver Island, a young man named Philip Keller lived on the beautiful ranch of Fairwinds. He wanted to raise sheep, but he had a problem. Paddy, his big cattle dog, didn't know one thing about sheep. Paddy wasn't even interested in sheep. The dog just lazed around in the sun or slept by the fire. One day, Mr. Keller said, "If I'm going to raise sheep, I will need a dog that has been trained to handle sheep." Soon after that, Mr. Keller saw a short ad in the newspaper, which read, "Wanted, a good country home for purebred border collie. Chases cars and bicycles." Mr. Keller quickly phoned the owner and set up a time to see the dog. Early the next day, Mr. Keller started up his old car and drove an hour to the town. The lady who owned the dog was eagerly waiting for him. "Mr. Keller," she said, "I hope you can do something about Lassie. She is absolutely crazy. All she does is chase cars and children on bicycles. She jumps all the fences and upsets the neighbours. She is just too wild to live in town." Mr. Keller said, "Please let me see her. Maybe I can do something with her. I have had dogs all my life." She led him around the back of the house into a little yard, and as they rounded the corner of the house, a bundle of dirty black fur jumped toward them, snapping at them and growling loudly. A heavy chain around the dog's neck jerked her back. She dropped into a heap on the ground and glared at him. Her ears were laid back in anger. Deep, mean growls rumbled in her throat. When Mr. Keller took a closer look at the snarling animal, he felt a great sadness. There was another chain from the dog's right hind leg to her collar. Yet through all the anger, growling and dirt, Mr. Keller saw that Lassie had all the traits of a good sheepdog. She had a broad chest, strong legs, and intelligent eyes. To help cover the great pity and love that welled up within him for the dog, Mr. Keller asked, "How old is she?" "She is 2 years old and she's crazy," the owner answered. "She was such a good little puppy when I got her. I don't know what went wrong with her. Nobody wants her. I have to keep her chained to a doghouse all the time. If you don't take her, she'll have to be put to sleep." Mr. Keller was sure he knew what went wrong. "Lassie is in the wrong hands and the wrong place," he thought to himself. "Lassie is a border collie, a sheepdog. She needs room to run. She needs to handle sheep. Border collies are very smart. They can work long hours without tiring, and they're loyal. What a shame. This wonderful animal has everything she needs to be a good sheepdog, but she doesn't know it. She's been treated like a failure." Mr. Keller could sense the frustration Lassie was feeling and longed to set her free to do as she was bred for, handling sheep. He turned to the lady and said, "By the time dogs are 2 years old, they usually have learned all they will ever learn. Lassie, here, is really too old, but I would like to give her a chance. I will make a deal with you. I will take her home to my ranch on one condition. If she doesn't respond to me after 6 weeks, I will bring her back, and you can do what has to be done." The lady gladly agreed. Carefully, Mr. Keller removed the heavy chains and placed a new, soft collar around Lassie's neck. She growled every time his hands touched her. He led her to his car and put her behind the front seat for the long ride home. As they were driving back to the ranch, he spoke to her reassuringly in a soft, low voice. Her only response was growls. "Now that you're starting a new life," he said, "I'm going to give you a new name. How does Lass sound to you?" He reached behind him where Lass lay. He tried to pat her, but she only growled and showed her teeth. "It will take some time to win the trust of this poor dog," Mr. Keller said to himself. But he was taking her to the perfect place. His land lay on the very end of the country road, where it ran into the sea. There were virtually no cars to chase, no boys on bicycles to tempt her, just the wide rolling pastures and the rugged shoreline where ocean waves thundered against the land. Most importantly, Lass had a new owner. Back at Fairwinds, Mr. Keller fastened Lass's soft new leash near to the new doghouse he had prepared. Mrs. Keller had a bowl heaped full of delicious food and fresh, clean, sparkling water waiting for the new dog. But Lass would not touch any of it. She just stared at them in anger. Day after day, she refused to eat or drink. Soon, she began to lose weight, and Mr. Keller began to worry about her. After a week, in an act of faltering faith, Mr. Keller took a daring step. He said to his wife, "I'm going to take Lass off the leash and set her totally free to prove to her that I trust her. She won't be forced. She has to come to us because she chooses to." As soon as the leash was removed, Lass took off like a flash of lightning and disappeared into the forest. Anxiously, the Kellers waited for Lass to return. After several days, Mr. Keller checked with other farmers in the neighbourhood to see if they had seen Lass, but no one had seen the dog. He searched up and down the country roads, but he didn't find her. Lass seemed to have disappeared into the salty ocean air. Sadly, Mr. Keller returned to his ranch. What now? He wondered. Who would help him raise his sheep? Then, one evening, Mr. Keller was busy in his yard. Suddenly, he noticed something moving on top of the large rocks behind the house. There was Lass, crouching like a cougar, staring down at him. He called her name, but she turned and fled back into the forest. She still was not ready to trust him. He felt so sorry for her. "Maybe if I place some food on the rocks, she'll understand that I love her," Mr. Keller thought. Every evening, he took food and water up to the rock. When he checked in the morning, they were gone. As Lass ate the food, she began to gain weight, but she still would have nothing to do with Mr. Keller. As the weeks went by, Lass came to the rocks more often. One day, some sheep with the lambs were grazing near her lookout. Suddenly, she sat on her hind legs. She tilted her head and watched the sheep really closely. "Are her instincts finally coming alive?" wondered Mr. Keller. He really wanted to become friends with her. He began to take a few sheep to graze near the dog lookout. He hoped that Lass would get interested in them, but she continued to stay away. Many more days passed. The time was nearing when Mr. Keller would have to take Lass back to her previous owner to be put to sleep, unless she began to respond. Then, one quiet evening, Mr. Keller was watching his sheep near the shore. A gentle breeze floated up from the water. While the sheep peacefully munched the grass, Mr. Keller enjoyed the colourful sunset. Suddenly, without warning, Mr. Keller felt a soft, warm nose touching his hand. His heart almost skipped a beat. Was it possible? He could barely look for fear of frightening Lass away again. Lass let him pat her gently. Mr. Keller was so happy. She had finally come to him by her own choosing. His heart was bursting with great joy. Lass was finally responding to all the love and attention he had shown her. She had found a courage to make a new start, to put her trust in a new master. A new friendship had begun.
Thank you, Esty. And we look forward to listen to the next chapter of the story next week. But to recap today, especially children, Mr. Keller wanted to take care of Lass. And Mr. Keller wanted Lass to become the wonderful border collie that a dog is intended to be. But though Mr. Keller really wanted Lass to trust him and love him, he didn't force Lass to do that. He waited patiently for Lass to come around. Jesus wants to take really good care of us, but he's not going to force us. God doesn't force us to come to him. He gives us a choice. We can choose to live with him, or you can choose to live without him. God waits patiently until we are ready to make a new start to follow him, like Lass has done. A very important question that you can ask yourself is whether you have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Esty, for the beautiful telling of that story. Let's thank her again.
Let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are indeed the light of the world, that you are risen, that you are our life, the source of our life, the source of our hope, the source of our peace. And we delight, Lord, just to be here in your presence today, and we thank you for the wonderful stories that we've already heard today, and we pray, Lord, this morning that you teach us from your word. Give us ears to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. A very good morning to you all. And Happy New Year, as they say, at this time of the year. 2017 is just going to be a wonderful year. It's a very different year for some people. I know, actually, I've only just heard this morning that it's Beryl Vert's last Sunday with us this morning, because she's off to Sydney to spend some time with her family. And so, Beryl, a special farewell to you. And it's been wonderful to have you as a part of our church family. And if there are others who are making significant changes as well, well, we'd certainly wish you all the best. If you're staying here with us, all the better. Great to have you here with us. And great to have you with us for our summer Sundays. Kids, I know you've already been asked, I know you're doing activity sheets and things, and you've already been asked if you have a pet. I'm just wondering if there's anyone who has a border collie just like Lass. Yes! My goodness, we've got some border collies. That's very exciting. You know, when I was a lad, we had a number of pets. We had a cat called Honey. We had a dog called Benji. Very creative names, were they? We had a rabbit who was called Mother. Because, she was that many, many times over. I think rabbits are worse than cats on that front. We had a goldfish called Leonardo. He was Leonardo da Fishy. So I think that was probably my dad's idea, his humour. Is my sister here today? Not sure if she is. Some of you know my sister Lindy. We also had, I'll say this because she's not here, a lot of pet mice. And she looked after them and I think did scientific experiments on them. Nothing inappropriate, but, you know, some sort of school project that was. But it all went out of hand. Anyway, over these next few weeks, children, just pay attention just for this 1 minute, because over these next few weeks, what we'd love you to do is draw a picture of you and your pet, or just a picture of your pet, or you can draw a picture of Lass. And we'd love you to bring those pictures in, or you can even, you know what, you could email me a picture, a photo of you and your pet. I would love that. So you just have to remember nick.scott@mounties.org.au. If you can remember that, might need some help from your parents. Then you can send that email to me. What we're going to do, actually, with all of these pictures and photos and drawings that you kids are involved with, is we're going to organise, set up a sort of a display of all of those pictures in the foyer, and then at the end of the series, you know what? There will be a small reward for everyone who's participated. A reward, imagine that. Might be a puppy. No, it won't be a puppy. Won't be a puppy. But it'll be a reward, it'll be something fun. So I'd encourage you to be a part of that. All right, so this morning we've begun our story about Lass, as you've heard, and it's a true story, actually, it's a beautiful story, just the first chapter today, but Lass, this beautiful story about this border collie, and it's a story that, as we'll see over the next few weeks, has some very important spiritual lessons to teach us, and the spiritual lessons we're going to focus on today for a few moments are about freedom. And there are just three simple lessons I'm just going to share with you this morning, just in a brief time. Three ways that we can lose our freedom. And number one is that we lose our freedom when our lives are in the wrong hands. I want to say to you this morning that if your life is not in God's hands, then it's in the wrong hands. In the story, you remember Lass was chained up in that little yard at the side of a house. It seemed that she'd been mistreated and she was perhaps a little malnourished. Well, you might say she was in the wrong hands, wasn't she? And the Bible teaches us that Jesus came to give us life and to bring us peace and joy. Jesus also makes it very clear in John chapter 10 that we have an enemy, one who really is like a thief, who comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And you know, the sole intention of our enemy, the devil, is to take away your fullness of life, to take away your peace, to take away your joy. And if your life's not in God's hands, then ultimately, by default, actually, it's in his hands. And you know, Satan will do whatever he can to chain you up and to bind you up and to prevent you from living the life of freedom that God has created and designed you to have. The chains that the enemy uses are generally the chains of your own sin. Chains of pride and greed that are designed to place you in financial bondage. Chains of lust. Chains of insecurity. Chains of failure. You know that voice in your head that just tells you that you're no good, or that you'll never succeed, or that you'll never amount to anything. That's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the enemy. Chains of fear and of anxiety that cripple you and rob you of your joy. This is what the enemy wants to do. And you think of that poor dog chained up in the yard. You know, many people live their lives like that, chained up, unable to run with the freedom that God intends for them. And that is the power of sin. But there's that wonderful line in the old hymn that we sometimes sing that goes like this: my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Well, that's the power of God. Do you want your heart to be free? Of course you do. Well, don't allow your life to fall into the wrong hands. Don't give the devil a foothold, the Bible says. We lose our freedom when our lives are in the wrong hands. We find our freedom when we willingly place our lives in God's hands. Number two, we lose our freedom when we are in the wrong place. And again, as we heard in the story earlier on that Esty just read so beautifully for us, Lass was in the wrong place, wasn't she? She was in this small yard by the side of a house. Well, that's not the place to keep a sheepdog. As we heard in the story, a sheepdog is actually created and designed to run, to interact with sheep, to do other things, not to be chained up in a yard. She was in the wrong place. Well, there was an article in the paper yesterday in the West about a young 19-year-old girl who was assaulted recently in Perth. Terrible, terrible thing. And as I read through the article, I discovered that when this incident happened, it was late November, this 19-year-old girl was in a dark alcove in Northbridge between 2:30 and 3:30 a.m. in the morning. Now, I'm not saying she deserved what she got, not in any sense. Or that, you know, whether it was her fault, not at all. But there's no question that this girl was in the wrong place. The wrong place to be. It wasn't wise for her to be in that place at that time. And for all of us, you know, there are places that are the wrong place for us. There are activities that are the wrong activities for us to engage with. There are people who are not the right people for us to hang around with because they'll influence us badly. There are internet sites that are not good places for us to visit. There are movies that are not wise for us to watch. There's social media conversations we're better off staying away from. There are lots of places that are the wrong place for a follower of Jesus to be. And when we venture into those places that are the wrong place, we quickly lose our freedom. And we find our freedom as we allow God to position us rightly in life. Galatians 5 says this. This is from the Message. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That is how freedom grows. Which leads us to our third simple lesson, and that is number three, we lose our freedom when we step outside of God's boundaries. You know, some people think that freedom means I can just do whatever I like. That if there are no rules and no boundaries, then actually I'm free. That's not the case at all. And in our story about Lass, the border collie, she found that out, didn't she? Remember, Mr. Keller made the decision to take Lass off the leash and just let her go. And in her newfound freedom, she just took off and ran into the forest. And Lass soon discovered that once she went outside the boundaries of the Keller property, this whole freedom thing actually wasn't too much fun at all. There was no protection, there was no security, there was no shelter, it was cold, she was hungry. In her freedom, she had walked away from her master. Well, God gives us that option as well. He gives us freedom, freedom to choose. And we also lose our freedom when we walk away from the master and when we step outside of God's boundaries. But by contrast, we are set completely free when we live our lives in close connection, close relationship with the master. That's what we are created to do and to be. This is what Jesus means when he says, "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall truly be free if the Son sets you free." And as we'll see over the next few weeks, this dog Lass discovered freedom and joy and fullness of life in one context and one context only. And it wasn't when she was chained up and in the wrong hands. It wasn't when she was in the wrong place. It wasn't even when she was running into the forest away from her master in a so-called free state. It was actually when she was listening to every word her master said and following his every command. That was freedom for her. She was free when she was living her life with the master, working with him, enjoying his affection, enjoying his provision and his love and his discipline, and doing that which she was created to do within the security of the boundaries that had been set in place by the master. She was set free to follow. So it is with us. We are set free to follow the Lord. And as we begin a new year, what a perfect opportunity to get off on the right foot and to start well and to put things right with the Lord on this first day of 2017. Well, you won't do that by your own efforts. You need the Lord's help. We all do. So why don't we bow in prayer and ask the Lord to help us? And as we bow in prayer, just consider these words again from the message, Matthew's Gospel, which says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Oh Lord God, may we learn these lessons. May we learn them as we just live out our daily lives with you. As we learn and as we understand what it means to walk with you, to work with you, that you teach us to live freely and lightly. That you restore to us the joy of our salvation. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that those chains might fall away from us, even as we walk away today. Whatever those chains might be today, may we be those who are able to say with great conviction, "My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, I went forth, and I followed you, Lord God." Teach us these things, Lord. Teach us more from this beautiful story of Lass the sheepdog as we work through our summer Sundays. We thank you, Lord, for your grace with us. We thank you for your presence as we go into a new year. We look forward to walking with you, to working with you, and to all that you have in store for us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.